Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Bill Handel Show. And good morning to you. And Bill is back tomorrow, taking today off for the Yom Kippur holiday. Some of the stories we're watching for you at KFI. The man suspected of kidnapping that family, including an eight-month-old baby that was up in Central California. Well, the police caught up to him. He tried to kill himself yesterday. It didn't happen. He didn't kill himself. He's in the hospital. He's in critical condition, and he's under arrest, and the family is still missing. And they did find a pickup truck belonging to one of the family members who had been kidnapped, and it was on fire when they found it. And in Stockton, keeping the police theme going, they've linked seven shootings. Six of them are fatal to a possible serial killer. The ballistics link all of those shootings, so say police. Well, you will hear stories in the news about animals. Sometimes they're sad stories, but sometimes they're not. And those are the stories that I like to bring you in a little segment we call Heavy Petting. Time to time about a dog or sometimes a cat, alerting the owners of the home to a fire. They're asleep, the dog's going crazy, the cat's going crazy, and turns out the kitchen's on fire, and thank goodness he woke everybody up and they get out of the house okay. Sometimes you'll hear a story of a dog or a cat will go crazy. Look, I'm not a dog person or a cat person. I'm a both of them person, but I will admit it's more likely a dog will alert somebody to a health problem that they're having. I have never heard of a dog helping out this way. In Glasgow, Scotland recently, they had a big thunderstorm and there was flooding and there was a VW, it's called a Volkswagen Estate, which I assume is a model they only sell over in Europe. And it was in the water and there were two women in the car. And so this woman went to try to help push the car out of the water. And then came the Springer Spaniel named Puck, who is owned by the woman who was trying to help. Lori Gillis is her name. And her dog Puck started to help push the car out of the water, and they got the car out of the water and they saved those two trapped women. And that's the story of Puck the hero dog. And yes, the cynical out there, I understand what you're saying. Just because Puck put his paws on the bumper of the car, how do we know if he really was pushing or not? I prefer to believe he was. Now, let's finish Heavy Petting with a story of hero animals, but this is a completely different kind of hero animal story. First of all, because of what kind of animal it is. It is not an animal that anybody I can think of has as a pet. And number two, how they are heroes. Not saving somebody from a fire, not pushing a car out of water, not alerting somebody, that they have cancer by sniffing a tumor. These hero animals might be responsible for helping the planet by making the recycling of plastic easier and more effective. The animal I'm talking about is the wax worm.
Oh.
They're gross, Jen. And in fact, most of the time, if anybody's talking about waxworms, they're not happy that they're talking about waxworms because they are actually moth larvae.
Ew.
And they get into beehives. Ew. And they eat the beeswax in the beehives. And that's not what you want. They're not. Sometimes animals help other animals. There's a symbiotic relationship. Not here. You don't want it. But it turns out, and this was discovered completely by happenstance by a beekeeper who came out one day, and there were waxworms, of course, and there was a plastic bag, and the waxworms had gotten on the plastic bag, and he got rid of the waxworms, and he noticed that there were holes in the plastic bag where the waxworms have been. And that led scientists to discover that waxworms have an enzyme in their saliva that breaks down plastic. Now, when you break down plastic with the mechanical methods, you usually need high heat, and the result that you get is not that satisfactory. This process with their saliva enzyme works at room temperature, and you end up with a higher quality recycled product, and you don't have to get a whole bunch of gross waxworms to do it. Now that they've identified the enzyme in their saliva, they can synthesize it, make it in a lab. So you'd have all this plastic and you wouldn't put waxworms on it. You would pour this solution that you made in a lab. And it can really help with the problem of all this plastic.
And shout out to Dolly, who saved me night before last from imminent danger, which was a deflating happy birthday balloon from Amy King in the bedroom.
I don't want to know why that became a risk to your life and limb, but I'm glad that it didn't.
Dolly's convinced it was. It was floating around the bedroom when the air conditioning would come on, and to her, it was ninjas, and she lost her mind, scared the daylights out of me, and I got 2 hours sleep. Thank you, Dolly.
Thank you, Dolly.
Saving my life.
The search for love. I know what you want. You want to find your soulmate. We have been told that there's somebody out there who is such a perfect match, whose every molecule aligns with yours in such a way that when you see them, you're gonna know they're your soul mate. Is this real, though? Is this a real thing, or is it a bunch of Hollywood claptrap? Guess what? It's apparently real, according to science. Most animal species on the planet don't have this thing where they find another one of them and then it's boom, we are together until one of us is dead. But some animals do have it. I will talk about human beings in a second. But first, I would like to bring to your attention the prairie vole, which is a little mouse thing. If you saw one, you probably wouldn't get that excited about it. But boy, oh boy, man, when one prairie vole sees the right other prairie vole, Jen, that's it. Here's what happens. And this is going to get a little PG-13.
Oh, hey.
You got a prairie vole. It sees not any prairie vole. It's not any other prairie vole. They see the right prairie vole. They get it on, and that's it. And they are together forever. Well, until one of them is dead. Oh. They follow each other around everywhere, and that's it. And they call it pair bonding. We call it soulmates. Here's the interesting thing. That's the prairie vole. There are other voles. There are meadow voles. There's a vole called a montane vole. They don't do it. They are promiscuous.
Oh.
They're just doinking around, and they don't stay with the same person. So what's the difference between a prairie vole and a meadow vole and a montane vole and a human being?
They're all called something different.
They're what?
They're all called something different.
No.
Oh.
Yes, but for the purpose of this question, is there a soulmate for you? And how do we know that it's a real thing from science? Well, prairie voles have in their brains, in the part of the brain that's associated with reward, they have more receptors for the hormones oxytocin and vasopressin. Now, everybody knows oxytocin. It's the feel-good hormone. It's the hug-me-forever hormone. But so is vasopressin. Both of those hormones are linked to making you trust somebody, love somebody, bond to somebody, feel close to somebody. They have many more receptors in their brain for those hormones. That means they get the effect of those hormones way more than those other voles. And that's why they can become paired people. And guess what other animal has a bunch of receptors for those hormones? It should be obvious. If you get this wrong, Jen, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
You're putting me on the spot. An animal, not a human?
I've made it really clear where I'm going with this.
A human?
Yes.
Okay, thank goodness.
Human beings. So here's the thing. We have these brains that are wired up to be especially affected by these feel-good, love, bonding, trust hormones. So there you are out in the world. You're looking at everybody. Doo-doo-doo. Let's be honest. You notice, guys. You're walking around. You're looking at guys.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, please. I'm walking around. I look. I notice. What am I going to do? Put blinders on and look like I'm an antisocial jerk? I don't leer, I don't glare, I don't stare, I don't approach, I don't say anything, but I notice. And everybody's different. Everybody is different. Your DNA is different. Your face shape is different. Your nose is different. It's all different. And the scientists are telling us that this wiring in our brain that is so receptive to these feel-good hormones makes us capable of walking around, seeing all these different people, and seeing the one. Our brains allow us, unlike most animals, allow us to pick somebody out and decide. I don't even think it's really deciding. I think it's on a more elemental level than that. We single someone out from the crowd, and we decide, or we just subconsciously elevate them above everybody else. We see them, and we like them better than anybody else.
I will say, I know people are going, wait, you're getting a divorce. I get it. But back in the day when I met Scott 17 years ago, I said to myself, that's him. And actually was a little bummed because I like dating. And I was like, oh, damn, really? But I knew there was this weird feeling. I knew that that was the guy. Granted, maybe my receptors were off now. But what I'm saying is I get there is a thing. And you know when people just say you know when you know, it's weird.
Well, that's your brain. And I guess what happens is if two people see each other and both of their brains go, hey, that person is way better than everybody else, that's boom. That's how you get the soulmates. I think to speak to what you brought up about you're getting a divorce, I think the issue there and the reason that I don't think that you ever see prairie voles getting divorced is because we're right now talking about biology. In human life, maintaining a bond is super complicated. We have so many issues and pressures and nuances and things that prairie voles don't have. And so I think I would say the part of what we're talking about where your brain can tell you that is my soulmate, that's a real phenomenon.
Yeah.
Making it last until one of you is dead is a different issue that our brains are not equipped. Our brains are not equipped to incorporate or to wave away all kinds of different practical concerns and other things that may rear their heads during a long-term relationship and cause it to fail. So what I'm saying to you is it may not have worked out forever, but it was what it was. And it was this thing we're talking about. Two brains lighting up, both of them in the same way towards the other.
I feel like I owe you $100 for this therapy session.
No. I do it because I care.
Aw, Wayne, you're like a prairie vole. And I mean that in the best way.
Oh, thank you.
Like, hey, when you I grow up, like I want to be a prairie vole.
I bet our brains are lighting up in the same way right now, which is that we want to do Handle on the News Late Edition.
You are correct, sir.
Handle on the News Late Edition. Handle on the News.
Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day? Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day? Woo-hoo! Uh-oh. Hump day?
Woo-hoo! AFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I suppose it is.
Do you think he called to torture us? Think he knew Dylan was on the board?
Well,
and he being Handle, of course. And he's like,
say,
Dylan doesn't
Bill
know.
Handle show. And did I say it's KFI AM 640 and
that's
live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app? Good. And it's Bill Handel's show. He's off today for Yom Kippur, but I would not put it past him, even if he's sitting in synagogue right now, listening to a sermon about what a solemn day it is and how this is the time of the year when you must reflect on the ways that you have wronged others and the various, we don't really use the word sin in the Jewish faith. So just the oopsies.
They use oopsie in the Jewish faith?
No, but I do. The oopsies that you may have committed, I would not put it past him to get on his phone and text Tyler or Dylan and go, make sure you do the hump day thing. In any event, hey, everybody, Bill will be back tomorrow. And we are about to do for you one of the most amazing things in the history of radio. I would say you have the first ever radio broadcast, goes down in history.
Okay.
You also have Orson Welles' Mercury Theater War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And this particular edition of Handle on the News Late Edition, which is sponsored by the good folks at directbuyers.com. That's the hassle-free way to sell your home at a fair price in 10 days or fewer. Directbuyers.com. Jennifer Jones Lee and me and the lead story. I feel like there might be.
My bills are all due. And the babies need shoes, but I'm busted.
Go, Johnny.
Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted.
Yeah, you are.
Well, commodities. This is a story about commodities. It's not cotton. It happens to be oil. And the OPEC Plus Alliance of oil exporting countries are debating a potentially huge cut in the amount of crude oil it will ship out to the global economy. Why would they do such a thing? Well, and this is kind of upsetting, I won't lie to you. The leading member of this OPEC Plus cartel is Saudi Arabia. They have various allied non-members. These are countries that are not technically members, but they're like buddies. And one of those is Russia. And so they're all getting together, and this is the idea. You know, there's a big embargo of Russian oil imports coming from the European Union. It's not going to take effect until the end of the year. So right now, they can still buy oil from Russia. So the idea is, here's what we do. We cut the supply. That drives the price way up. Russia can make more money before the big embargo slams down upon them. It also means we are going to get hosed in the keister with gas prices here in the United States.
Oh, we're not already?
Well, I'm more so. Oh. You think, see, I know, California, what are we up to now? Six, have we hit
643 today?
Yeah. 643 average price across the state, even as in the rest of the country, the gas prices came way down and are holding steady down. They're not going up. but they are in California because we have our own unique problems here with the refine. We're so dependent on a small number of refineries that constantly shut down for maintenance, with finger quotes. But my point is, even you thought you had reached maximum hosed in the keister. Well, if this happens, get ready. All to help Russia put more money in its pocket before this embargo comes. So I thought, I know we have a weird relationship with Saudi Arabia, but I didn't think that we were enemies. And if they do it, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if Biden can do anything. I hope he's got some kind of strong response that he can do if they do it, because to screw us over to help Russia, a country that is fighting a terrible illegal war against another country that's our friend, I don't think we can stand by and have OPEC do that, which is another thing to go to the electric cars and to like really truly get away from dependence on oil. This is exactly the argument. And never mind the environment. Screw the environment. I don't care. I do. I actually do. But for rhetorical purposes,
right.
Screw the environment. Let the rivers be choked with crude and the fish all go belly up and curse us. I don't know if fish can give the finger.
Sure they can with their little fin.
But their little fin, give us the finger for killing them. Never mind that problem. We should not be dependent on this kind of nonsense.
I also don't understand why, if we're sanctioning Russian oil over and over again, if that's supposed to be one of the big things we can do is sanction Russia for its oil production, isn't this contradictory to what we're trying to do to punish Russia? Now we're giving them the green light to make more. This
well,
doesn't make any
we're
sense.
We're not giving them the green light.
No, it's this OPEC would be OPEC. I get that.
Cut production to help them. And also, this is the EU's embargo. We can't.
But don't we work in conjunction? When it comes to sanctions, aren't we all trying to do the same thing at the same time to put the biggest, crunch on Russia?
In theory, but, everybody's got their own axe to grind, and the EU was not ready to give up on Russian oil. They need it. So you got to take your grievance to the EU. I'm Wayne Resnick. Jennifer Jones Lee and I are doing a Handle on the News late edition for you.
The family of Helena Hutchins, who was the cinematographer, killed on the movie set Rust when Alec Baldwin accidentally shot that gun. Alec Baldwin and Helena Hutchins' family have reached an undisclosed settlement. But here's how it goes. First off, they will drop the lawsuit against Alec Baldwin and others. Secondly, Matthew Hutchins, who is the widow of Helena Hutchins, will actually be now an executive producer, to which actually all of us were just talking about, is a little bit hard to believe that you would want to be so entrenched in the production where your wife was killed. Other than I started thinking maybe he wants to make sure that set, because it was a matter of it looked like the set was kind of haphazard and they didn't have a good handle on props and things like that. He's going to make darn sure, because he'll be there and see it with his own eyes, that every step of the rest of this movie is, T's crossed, I's dotted. Maybe?
The thing is, and this is the dark side of show business, that movie, if this hadn't have happened, that movie would have come out and it would have disappeared like a blip and it would have been of no consequence. And it might have made a little bit of money just because it probably didn't cost that much to make. And by the time you get streaming rights and stuff, now theaters are going to be packed.
And what sucks is I bet half the people in those theaters are going to be looking for that moment when Alec Baldwin pulls the trigger of a gun.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if they rewrite it and that scene does not appear at all.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, do we need to know these things? We do, because they're in a court filing and it's a cross complaint. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, that marriage, speaking of prairie voles, that marriage did not go so well. And they're fighting over like the house in France and some winery and all this stuff. And so he's suing her and she's suing him. And all this detail is coming out about how they allegedly behaved toward each other. And so Angelina Jolie is saying that they were on a plane and Brad Pitt started pouring. Now I'm a little confused. He poured beer on some people, her and the kids, and also poured wine on some people, including the kids. And I don't remember if he only poured beer on her and he poured beer and wine on the kids or the other way around, but he's pouring stuff on people. That he lunged at his own child and she had to grab him from behind to stop him. And all this just terrible behavior.
I just feel bad for the kids. I feel bad for the kids because we are talking about that. And that's out there now. And we know what kind of, although on the good side, we know what kind of environment, possibly, if these allegations are true, that those kids were living in.
Another celebrity marriage on the rocks.
Gisele Bündchen, Tom Brady, hiring divorce attorneys. And what was it, Alex, that you read about? They're headed for the end zone. Was that it?
Oh, no.
Who wrote that?
Fox News is like, what led them to the end zone?
Oh, gracious. Anyway, turns out that if the rumors are true, what happened was Gisele Bündchen, and she was so happy when Tom Brady said that he was going to retire, because one of the things that she said she wanted him to do was to be more present, to spend more time with the kids. And I think that this is one of the things that has been out there. I don't think I'm talking out of school. I think this made headlines. Then when he unretired and went back is when it sounds like she was like, I'm done. No more. And it makes sense because the four games this season she has not been at his four games with the Bucks. So
what a whiny baby this Tom Brady, by the way. He was on a podcast recently and he was complaining about he hasn't had a Christmas in 23 years and he hasn't had a Thanksgiving in 23 years and he can't celebrate birthdays with people that he cares about. It's like, you know what? There are people who have terrible lives because of circumstances outside their control. And you are whining about this that is 100% your own doing. And I wonder if it's not so much that he retired and then unretired. This is a window into his mind. And I think that poor Gisele Bündchen finally realized what kind of a self-interested dink that she had thrown in with. And I think it probably sucks. I think that when you get, you know, you fall in love and you get married and then you kind of assume that you and the family, if you have a family, that you're the number one thing. And when you find out that your husband's life, that you are second to the continuation of an already overlong career where you've already accomplished everything. You have enough money. You have enough accolades.
You
insist you cannot let it go. What does that say to the other people in your life?
And then you have the audacity
to complain because you miss Christmas because you have to play football for millions of dollars a year.
$30 million a year, Tom Brady. I feel so sad.
You know how many people miss Christmas because they have to work at a minimum wage job or else they're not going to be able to pay their rent?
Yes, we work in radio, for God's sakes.
Oh, my goodness.
How many Christmases and Thanksgiving have you missed, Wayne? And
some,
whatever.
Many?
Yom Kippur's.
Yeah, but I don't complain about it.
Amen.
All right, everybody calm down. Everybody,
that was the best segment.
You said that was going to be the best segment.
You were right.
I feel like I know how she feels, where you're just like, you murdering, jerking, dang, lure, that. She's probably walking around now all the time, just like her fists, her hands are balled up in a fence. She's just like, what are you? KFI, AM 640, live. On the iHeartRadio app, everywhere.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.